Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Deviants, welcome to show. I am the Clinteris, and I am here with
Gooch.
You're slack.
And we are the Social Deviants, who are here today to celebrate
Life Day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wookie.
Is it a Wookie? Is it a Wookie specific?
Yes.
It's like their religion or something like that?
Yes. It's basically their Christmas.
Tree of life type deal?
Yeah.
Well, continue on.
Okay.
Yeah, continue on.
So that means, whatever. So if you haven't guessed yet, if you're a Star Wars nerd, you probably guessed it. If you're not a Star Wars nerd, I don't know what the fuck we're talking about, but we're talking about a little known television special that actually, from what Devo told me, only aired one time ever in America and one time ever in Canada. And that's the
and
Star Wars.
New Zealand also.
Okay. In New Zealand. And that's the Star Wars holiday special. It was aired in let's see here. November 17th, 1978.
Yes.
And Devo, you said
by the time this episode releases, it'll be the 11th, which will be just in time for the 17th.
So the 17th is actually Life Day? Like Star Wars people celebrate this?
I think so. You know, I haven't been, like, I'm not too into the entire like Star Wars fandom because there are a lot of toxic Star Wars nerds out there. So I'm not like too deep into that. I follow the Star Wars subreddits and things like that. So I don't know how people celebrate it. I just know that whenever there is a Christmas celebration with certain nerdy friends, I always try to bring this up and I always try to get this on the TV.
Mm.
I think if anyone doesn't know, there's like a bunch of, you know, Star Wars related fan events and fan days. Obviously, May the 4th be with you. We talk about The Mandalorian on our other fantasy TV show, and I think if you watch the gallery show that is like a complimentary show to the, like, it's like the making of the show, you'll see that in one of the main scenes from last season, the one with Moff Gideon, all the big portion of the stormtroopers there were actually fans that make their own stormtrooper outfits and stuff.
They were the 501st.
Yeah, the 501st Regiment, I think they're called. They're like a group of people that show up to various events or hospitals and stuff like that, and they asked them to be in there. So, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that something like this exists and that people actually celebrate it. And in this particular special, they're definitely trying to celebrate it. In the end, they do technically celebrate it, but in the lead up to that, we have to watch about 2 hours worth. It's actually only an hour and 30 minutes worth, I think, because of commercials.
Yeah, no commercials.
It's an hour and a half worth. And I got to tell you guys, I was 10 minutes in and I was looking at like, okay, well, I'm 10 minutes in. It's an hour and 37 minutes. That's like about almost 10 different blocks, because there's not going to be any credits because it's a fucking TV special. There's like about 10 different blocks of 10 minutes here. And I've got 9 more to go. This is going to be long.
I have a note here. When it starts, you have a couple of minutes of credits. You know, they're saying it's the Star Wars Holiday Special with Mark Hamill.
Starring with Beatrice Arthur.
And it goes on, and then we get the action, quote-unquote, starts at 3 minutes, 40 seconds in, right? That's when we are first introduced to the Wookiee planet and this Wookiee family. From 3 minutes, 40 seconds in, you don't hear a human voice until 12 minutes and 22 seconds into this experience. In that entire almost 10-minute gap, it is nothing but Wookiee growls, grunts, and whines. It's brutal, man. Painful.
It is very bad. We watch the movies because when every time Chewie makes a sound, we all laugh and we think it's awesome. But we're not listening to Chewie have a fucking 10-minute conversation with people.
So here's the thing: when Chewie's in the movie, he's got a very well produced growl. He's got a language and it sounds great in the context that he's using it. Here we're on a television budget and they are taking previous Chewbacca sounds, sounds like they're repurposing them and trying to hack them up. One's got a super high pitch because it's a kid. One's got a super grovelly low pitch because it's an old man. The other one's got this weird sort of feminine-ish Chewbacca sound, but they take notes and they just repeat things over and over and over. So it's it doesn't feel as natural as it does in the movies, even though they're trying to make this natural 10-minute conversation between this lady, an old man, and a child. It is horrendous.
Let's just say this.
Go ahead, Gooch.
It was bad. And I fast forwarded it until I saw Han Solo, and then I rewinded.
So I was just going to be talking in Wookiee.
Oh, I know. We
Han's not the first human that you see.
Yeah, I fast forwarded until I saw Han Solo. No, I did. I stopped until I saw it was the that one dude, Sean.
It was Luke. Luke's the first human that you see. Yeah.
Was it?
Because it's going through and the Wookiees are doing their thing and blah 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 blah, and then
Mala looks up at the picture of Chewie
and she's like, oh, I miss Chewie. So
no,
she
because
calls
you
Luke.
you see the them like escaping whatever planet they were fucking on. I don't even know any other planet. You see Han and Chewie in that terrible cockpit, by the way.
Yeah,
the cockpit.
That's after.
No, it was. No, it wasn't.
That was the first thing they showed.
The first thing you show.
Maybe that is the first.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. That's the first thing you show, right? And then, so I watched that, and then they go to the. You're right. Then they go to the Chewbacca, the Wookiees, and then it's Luke.
Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Okay,
dude. Yeah, that's what big, goes I mean, the big. I was reading about this, and I guess George Lucas.
That cockpit was Daryl, by the way.
That they focused the story around Chewie. Or Chewie's family, I guess, this whole story.
Yeah.
He insisted it. And he also insisted on having no fucking subtitles for any of them. Because I guess in the movies, they never give subtitles to Chewie. Because they're sort of...
No, they never do. But at one point, based on the success of Star Wars, Lucas was considering a movie surrounding nothing but Wookiees in nothing but Wookiee speak. But you can't have an... hour and a half, 2 hour long movie of just grunts and growls that nobody knows what they're talking about. So
you gotta have
some of that concept
enough.
And put it into this. Oh yeah.
It's bad enough you gotta listen to it, but then to have no subtitles, no context, and then you're basically just watching like a silent movie at that point, which is fucking
silent movie would have been better.
And this is the thing that sucks about all the Star Wars, but it works in the context of Chewbacca and his friends, because his friends can understand him. He's the only alien in the entirety of Star Wars that does not have subtitles.
Yeah.
Jabba has subtitles. Greedo has subtitles.
Yeah.
Sebulba does. Every other alien, with the exception of Chewbacca, who is in almost every single Star Wars movie.
Oh, Jawas.
True.
Jawas don't have Jawas on and Sand People.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But again, you know, a guy who's in seven of the nine movies.
I agree. He's a huge role. He plays a huge role in it. So.
Doesn't even get a medal at the end.
And I think even after that first 10 minutes, as the story progresses, like the listening to the Wookiees gets even harder and harder.
It's terrible
to get through. And, and particularly,
it's absolutely terrible.
His son, Lumpy, it sounds completely different than the rest of the Wookiees. It's like, this isn't even the same like species sound. You know what I mean?
No, it's terrible.
It sounds really bad. And let's talk about this as well. The names of these characters, like, really? Who the fuck?
Itchy, Lumpy.
Itchy and Mala. Lumpy? Mala, okay, fine, I get it. Or maybe even Lobaka. I know that's his brother or that's his son, one of the other sons?
His nephew.
His nephew. I get it, those names. But if you're going to have a name, like a really unique name like Chewbacca... Itchy, at least give us a hint to what their name, like the Itchy is, like, because we call him Chewie, right? It's a short for something.
Short for something.
Okay. I was going to say.
They're not brought up until the actual, like some book, and I can bring it up here.
I'm seeing off of IMDb, because I remember reading this book. It's like their children's book that they released for Kashyyyk. So the names for them, for Mala, Lumpy, and Itchy are Malata Buck. Mulatto Buck is Mala. Okay. Lumpa Warump for Lumpy. And then
the kid.
And Atichukuk.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. That sound, itchy, those sound like Wookiee names. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was because it was really. I get it. You're trying to make it for a kid, but it just sounded ridiculous.
But again, they didn't mention it until later in a book that was released in like 1979.
So they maybe just made the names up after this thing came out.
I don't know about,
or maybe they're in the notes.
Yeah,
but
because remember, Lucas had a ton of notes written by now, like even before Star Wars was even A New Hope was made, right?
And another thing too is I'm gonna drop a little piece of trivia right now, and this could help explain not just that decision, but maybe the entirety of this holiday special. Bruce Valanche, apparently he was the writer of the thing, and he has admitted that he was using cocaine heavily while helping to write the special. Yeah. So, you know, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It's one hell
of a drug, he was
snowblind?
Don't do drugs, kids. He's just a rock and roll clown.
Okay, let me recollect myself here. So
dude, yeah,
I have a couple questions
for
you guys. Number
go
one,
for it, man.
What do they call children Wookiees? Cubs? What do they call children?
They refer to as children.
Yeah,
in the theory. So whenever the Empire came into their hut, they said this is a dwelling of four Wookiees, two adult males, one adult female, and one child.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
And. Okay, let's. So number one, they had computers, obviously.
Yeah.
And they should be proficient in them. Oh well, yeah. They should be proficient in them because Chewie was like an engineer, kind of, I guess. He was a pilot and an engineer.
Mechanical prowess.
On the Millennium Falcon.
They're definitely smart,
and they're definitely technologically advanced and adept, or maybe adept if not advanced. They obviously understand English, which I think is well known in the series.
Yes.
Chewie can understand English, so they can obviously understand and read it. They can't speak it. It's probably I'm assuming that's a physiological thing, like a biological thing, that you're not physically able to enunciate English.
Yeah.
But, now, Itchy, his old man, number one, really looked like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. He really did. His face looked a lot different than the other Wookiees, and I swear to God, they played him off like he was fucking Archie Bunker sitting on his recliner at one point.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a mean fucker too, by the way. He was a mean old fucker.
Oh, yeah, he was being a dick to Itchy or Lumpy or whatever
was.
His name is.
And by the way, the planet name, this one of the fools said Kazook.
Yes. So
Kashyyyk?
I have the note here. Where to go? I wrote it down. Fuck, where is it? Oh, here we go. Yeah. The Wookiee planet is called Kazook, one of the names that Lucas considered before it became officially known as Kashyyyk.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, and I guess it was called Kazook once, but then whenever they have the Imperial, like, this is a, you know, Imperial warning, they always refer to it as Wookiee planet.
Yeah, they don't even fucking give it a name.
Yeah. Fucking pricks, dude.
I mean, they ultimately showed Kashyyyk in episode 3, I believe.
Yeah.
No.
It appeared in episode 3. Obviously, they modeled it after what was in this somewhat. But I wanted to point out that when they did show Kashyyyk, they showed it a couple times. Obviously, the establishing shot from outside the Chewbacca's house. And when Lumpy looked down, see how high up they were, and it was obviously animated. This is 1978. You can't expect good production quality, let alone on a fucking TV show with a low budget. Right. But I gotta say this: that animation looked no better or worse than the reactor inside the spaceship on Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
You mean that matte painting that they had?
Yeah.
It was a matte painting, fuh.
Yeah, it was a matte painting. And that
or,
is an original
drawing or whatever the hell it was.
So that was an original Ralph McQuarrie concept of the Wookiee planet.
Oh, man. I was like, I had thought the same thing. I'm like, that is fucking terrible.
But the thing is, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is like a decade later. And it just looks just as bad.
Well, I mean, you got a couple of college kids that don't know how to make movies. I will say this, though.
They probably had more money to spend on Killer Clowns than they did on fucking this holiday special.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite.
You were talking about 10 years before that, though.
I don't care. I think it's the opposite,
was,
man.
When this holiday special was made, Star Wars was a huge success.
Yeah, at this point, it was. Yeah,
to specifically keep the Star Wars mania alive while they were getting ready for Empire.
I wish we knew how much it cost to make, but they never released it. They never released that number. I mean, they really never even talked about it. They kind of pretend like it didn't exist. So let's talk about the virtual. I'm trying to do this a little bit differently than I did before, just going through everything and just I'm trying to like because to shorten up maybe things for the audience.
That's fine.
Combine the topics into one little thing. So let's go on to the next one here. The virtual reality thing, whatever that Lumpy was looking at or his old man was looking at. I can't even remember
the
Cirque du Soleil fucking routine.
Itchy.
And the,
yeah. Oh, no, God. That's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, that fucking thing.
Or
that
the kid was watching.
Yeah. The kid was watching. Like, yeah. The music is garbage.
It's garbage.
The Cirque du Soleil routine is it's, abominable.
It's hideous.
Lumpy's face of excitement interspersed in there was unbelievable.
It's frightening.
That's where it got to be 10 minutes in, and I was like, how fucking long is this thing?
Yeah. That's the Uncanny Valley type fucking scary type thing, dude. Oh, my gosh.
I have a note here. Like, imagine being a circus performer, and then somebody comes to you and says, hey, we want you to be in the next Star Wars project. Imagine how stoked you must be a circus performer. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to be in the Star Wars. And then they're filming it, and they're like, we've got these crazy costumes. This looks totally Star Wars. They probably have no concept of where they're going to be placed inside of the actual finished product. And then you go to see it, and you're like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
Oh, I mean, there's the Force, and you know the Jawas and everything. Oh, hell.
What the hell's a Jawa?
let's talk about Mark Hamill for a second, who, by the way, I thought put forth the best acting performance of anyone in it.
He's the only one that tried.
Yeah,
I thought he did a better job, and he was phoning it in.
Harrison Ford
did a better job than
I thought. He was bad, man.
Any line that he had in the cartoon.
I'll tell you. Oh, the cartoon. The cartoon is a different story.
Mark Hamill was really good in the cartoon, actually, and the cartoon was abominable, but.
We must have different concepts.
I thought Harrison Ford did terrible in the cartoon.
He did.
Yeah.
I thought Mark Hamill did good in the cartoon.
I think they all did terrible. I think the only one that was good was Chewie.
So Mark Hamill's face in this, is this before or after the accident? Are you guys?
This was right after it, by the way.
Yeah.
Right after it.
Because his face looks a lot different.
Well, so he's got heavy makeup on.
Yeah,
and it says here that he was heavily made up because he was just recovering from the surgery from that accident.
And they must have put like a wig on him too, because that hair, man, that is a travesty upon anyone. That hair, that haircut they put.
Zach from Saved by the Bell hair.
It's very, very bad. I was like, poor Mark Hamill, dude. Not only did he get all beat up and broken up in his accident, and they had to put makeup on him to hide that shit, and then put that terrible haircut on him.
That could have been his own haircut.
I'm sure it was, but
they're not boo-hoo on Mark Hamill.
Oh man, whatever,
he made
man.
That decision.
It looks so bad.
I look good right now.
His outfit, though, you know that chest plate. I thought that was like on the outfit and not like hanging off from a strap on his back, like it was in this. I thought in the movies it was like on his outfit.
I feel like his outfit in this was basically like a costume you'd get from Spirit Halloween store.
Yeah, right? Looked bad.
So
let's talk about what's the shop owner guy's name? They're like friend?
San something. But before we move on to that, there's a pattern that I noticed throughout this. And I felt like there's an objectification of Mala. So there's when she's talking to Luke, and she's all sad, he's like, oh, don't be sad. Come on. Let's see a little smile. Oh, yeah, there you go. Like, super creepy to her, like, come on, give me a little smile, pussycat. And then later on, she's talking to, or no, when what's his name, that San dude comes over and he's like, hey, what do you do for your friends? And then she gives him a kiss on the cheek and he's like, yeah, that's more like it. And then, like, even when Chewbacca comes, she's just like, and then he's like trying to caress her face. Like, I felt like she was being like objectified in this old school, like, you're a woman folk and your job is in the kitchen sort of thing.
You know what's weird? What's the weirdest part about that? I thought the same thing, because we're looking it through, you know, 2020 eyes, right? Obviously, back in the 80s or whenever, we would like, oh, whatever. What the weirdest thing was that when I'm going to jump ahead, but it is part of this conversation. When she's talking to Leia, right? Leia was like, oh, is there like a human I could talk to? I was like, Mala, shut up, Mala. I need to talk to you.
And Leia, she straight up says, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait a second. That's Chewbacca's wife.
Can you give me Han or somebody else?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on here? She's like super second class citizen where like even Leia doesn't want to talk to her. Jesus, can they have some girl talk?
Yeah, that's hardcore.
I was like, all right, hold on a sec. I can accept 80s objectivation or 70s, late 70s objectivation of women, all right? Because it was a thing then, okay? You guys got to remember that. But that was super weird.
It's pure animal abuse.
She's not
an animal.
It was weird. It was super weird. And I just didn't felt like, I don't think Leia would talk like that to someone. Especially not Chewbacca's wife.
But again, Carrie Fisher was just hopped up on cocaine.
Yeah.
One hell of a drug.
So, going back to Art Carney.
Can you guys, I just have one question about him. I think he was fucking terrible, but why did his shirt open all the way down to his belly?
That's what fucking space dudes do.
Wait a second, because this is obviously I was looking at IMDb and all like the little tidbits and the trivia and shit. One of the trivia things I read, I had not known of this, right? Obviously, so Sean Don, I think that, or Swan Don, or whatever the guy's name was, it says here was an early incarnation of Lando Calrissian. In the early drafts of Star Wars, episode five, Empire Strikes Back, George describes him as a gambler who runs a general store on Kashyyyk, a guy who trades with the Indians. That's what it had in quotes.
So he got a huge upgrade in Billy Dee.
Yeah, I agree.
Billy Dee had the same open thing.
The supposed swagger that this guy had. I thought the swagger was fucking stupid.
And like when he was trying to talk in code and stuff, and he's talking to Molly, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna deliver that big carpet to you by Han Solo.
She did it solo. I was like, this is so bad. And then when like he's like, don't worry, I'll handle this. Stormtrooper 7821. He robbed me. He hit me in the head and he robbed me, and he head for the hills. I was like, God. This guy was supposed to be Lando Calrissian. I'm like, dude, it was ridiculous. Sorry, go ahead, Clint.
No, it's that I did not know that. That's a good little note there. So let's talk about the next little weird vignette that they had, which was the cooking, the chef, succulent dish, the Bantha surprise, the tenderest cut, the loin, is what she said. The actress that did that scene is the same one that was the bartender in the cantina later.
It was Harvey Korman.
You guys, I don't know who the fuck these people are. You guys are like, I don't know who the fuck these people are,
but it wasn't B.
Dude,
it
was the fucking so, the video was so
it wasn't
bad,
B. Arthur.
So Harvey
I don't know
Korman,
who the fuck these people are, so I'm just asking.
Harvey Korman was the cook, he was the guy with the hole in his head in the cantina, he was the robot. The fix a thing, and I think that might have been it. I think he only had those three roles.
He had three roles.
He's like, stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir.
Okay, so that scene, number one, the guy almost has blackface and is like almost stylized like a voluptuous black woman, which was very fucking strange to me. The length of the scene is just preposterous. There's like no need for it to be that long. He even fucking yelled at one point.
All the scenes are preposterous. Even that circus scene, it's like, okay, like the kids watching a circus and they do a couple of handstands, but it's like they go on through an entire show.
Yeah. They could have been an hour long, the whole damn thing, if they just fucking cut some of these things significantly. But I guess at the time they thought they wanted to fill up time. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Mala is actually watching that video on a flat screen TV. Which I don't think those existed back then.
I didn't even notice.
Had there been other instances of those things being shown? like that?
Not in Star Wars, because in Star Wars, like in Star Wars in particular, like a lot of stuff is like on a, like an old CRT.
Yeah.
When you're on the Death Star, they show like when the Death Star is like looking at Alderaan or Dantooine or whatever. Like it looks like it's a giant flat screen. But for the most part, whenever they're looking at their own little monitors and stuff, they're all basically just little tiny CRTs, like, you know, closed captioned TVs or something.
Well, if you go back and look, it was like a flat screen. I mean, not a real flat screen. They just simulated the image on the fucking, the actual physical thing. But
right.
Yeah.
Still.
Exactly. So that gets sort of interrupted by this fucking alarm. And I got to say, the first thing I thought of was, woo, 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 woo. Pull over.
Pull over.
Pull over. Now I'm going to read him his rights. I every time it went off, I was like literally, it sounded like a person going, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah, it probably was.
So annoying.
It probably was.
And then, so the shop owner, he comes into Chewy Spot and this fool's talking, they're asking him, what'd you bring? He's like, the whatchamacallit, the thingamabob. Oh, the mind evaporator. I'm like, that sounds like something you would not forget the name of, the mind evaporator.
Yeah, and that also sounds like something you would not want to enjoy.
No, but Chewie's old man did. And
all right, go on. I got a question for the end of this. Go on.
You know, that shit was, I was obviously some psychedelic type meditation session, almost with sexual undertones or something like that. And then it goes. Oh,
yeah.
And then she just breaks into, which, number one, a Wookiee's not going to find a human attractive.
We don't know, man. You don't know.
Freaky ass Lumpy,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, exactly. Or you don't itchy. Know what Lumpy's, oh yeah, Itchy's into, just man. He's a pervert old man. He's a creep.
Because remember, like, she's like, oh, I'm sensing you. Are you sensing me? Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was like drooling and shit.
And then she's like, oh, I find you adorable. And that fool went back to replay that
yeah.
line
yeah.
multiple times. So he's a little creeper for that.
And then she broke into song, which was like, what the fuck? Why? I fast forwarded through it.
It's garbage.
So
it was terrible.
I sat through the entire thing.
Okay.
Because I am a dedicated Star Wars nerd. And so my question to you is, after everything that happened with that whole scene, and it was obviously sexual in nature,
yeah,
did Itchy come?
Oh, wow.
You know what? I don't know. I don't want to know.
Do we know what Wookiee reproduction practices are?
I mean, obviously there is some sort of fertilization method because Chewbacca had a child with
Mama. They're mammals, so they probably
obviously he was aroused. That he finished himself off with those claws, I don't know. I think I would probably hurt.
I mean, you...
Because they have claws. I don't know.
Fool ain't got no teeth. Maybe he gummed exactly. himself. I don't know.
You know what I was thinking out of all this? You know what that reminded me of? Is the way they have sex in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
I was like, is that where
maybe
Demolition
that
Man got
inspired?
It from?
Oh,
weird.
That could have been.
Because they put these things on, and it's like that psychedelic type of thing that goes back and forth. I was like, dude, Demolition Man got the way they do it, because... Itchy was ganging off of this fucking, you know, this MTV music video.
It would have been great if they had the same song too.
Oh, and he would have been making like weird faces, like Sly.
Sly's just like.
It just seems like such a strange thing to put in Star Wars, so and fun. Not a book for it to be in Star Wars. Period, but to be in like a children's holiday special, whatever.
I was again. If you guys like the trivia, the guy said something about putting that in there. It says like he wanted to push, like the sensors so much that we're like he put that in there to like push the sensors.
That, and when you're on cocaine,
yeah, you're on coke.
Obviously, you want to have
fucking
sex
funny as hell. Obviously, we talked earlier. You guys talked about Leia, Carrie Fisher. So let's just talk about her real quick, and we'll finish it up with another question that I have. I thought it was weird. You guys obviously mentioned her conversation with Mala, which was a little condescending. But she also, I don't know if it was a script writing or it was her or whatever, but she goes, can you bring Chewbacca or Han Solo? It's like, bitch, she knows who Han Solo is. Like, you don't need to say the motherfucker's whole name. We got it. Just say who Han is. And then obviously the last scene that she's in, I'll just jump around a little bit. You sent me that meme, obviously, so we kind of all know what we're talking about. In the original movie, I remember seeing, and I remember you guys telling me this, that, you know, George Lucas was very adamant that there's no underwear in space, and she sort of had to tape her yeah. boobs down. I don't think she did that.
They were nice in this one.
You only get to see it for a split second, yeah. but
when she's running in, yeah, I like
it's enough. Yeah. And then she broke out into song.
She took over the entire celebration. So this is a Wookiee celebration where they all touch a globe and they walk into this giant light and magically appear in front of this tree, and they're all wearing red robes. And I don't know what the rest of the celebration is, but then it's like, she's like, oh, this is your special day, you should enjoy it, and then just start singing.
And they want to hear English being sung at that time. It's probably fucking, yeah, it's like fucking chalkboard sound to them.
It's like, woman, this is our life. This is not how we celebrate it. Like, what are you even doing here?
They were like chanting or something, right? Or singing?
I don't know.
The Wookiees.
Growling, doing yeah, something.
Well, I mean, I guess she can sing a little bit, but the fucking songs are bad. And it was like a singing version of the end scene of fucking A New Hope. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's not the only time that they do that, because I think they break down, we'll get to it, they break down the Cantina song into like a real song, sing-songy song later on, which is fucking bad too. But let's do this now. The lady, the singing lady from the fucking, what is
B.
it?
Arthur?
From the Mind Cantina? Evaporator.
Oh, the Mind Evaporator, okay.
Oh, yeah. Diane Carroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, her, the bartender. That's, you said this is the B. Arthur character?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's B. Arthur.
Carrie Fisher, FMK.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's easy. Easy peasy.
Can you marry and fuck one, the same one? Because okay.
Wow, Gooch.
I would marry and fuck Carrie Fisher and kill both other two.
The wow. sister was, the singing chick, she wasn't,
ugly. Man, it was just such a terrible, it was a terrible song,
but she wasn't ugly.
Either way, it was all terrible.
I'm gonna preface this, Diane Carroll, much respect, I love her, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But in this situation, for me, it would be, I would F B. Arthur.
Oh my God. And,
hold on. Who's B. Arthur? Carrie the bartender?
The bartender.
And then wow. Diane Carroll's got to go. And it's only because, like, I don't know what it is, whether it's because of Golden Girls or because of this, but
Steve,
and I even have a note
twisted
here.
Individual.
Well, she's from
I
Golden
have
Girls?
A note here. She,
yeah. No wonder yeah. I recognize her.
Yeah,
and I have a note here, and I already know your guys' answer, but am I wrong to be attracted to Bea Arthur?
Oh, man. You know, no, I don't even have words for this.
She's a woman, Devo. You're entitled to fucking be
yeah,
attracted
to Yeah, you're entitled
to
it. I mean...
You're a man. She's a woman. Yeah. And even if she was a man, you're also entitled to that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't discriminate against any... We don't discriminate against love on this program.
Oh, man.
There's nothing but love. And there's nothing wrong with it, Devo.
Oh,
now, I love B. Arthur.
Now, if you wanted to do some sadistic, twisted shit to her, okay, that's a different story.
That's in the privacy of her own home.
Exactly.
Own
no one has cantina. To know, as long as it's consenting.
Yeah.
Gooch is not happy about that answer, though.
I was shocked. It's just shocking to me. No, I don't care. I mean, if he wants to do B. Arthur, it's fine. I mean,
okay, cool.
Whatever. I'm just shocked. I was laughing. I had to turn off. I had to turn off my mic because I was laughing too much, dude.
You just woke up your entire household.
Good. Oh, next man. Time, don't do that, please. We want
to
hear
it. No, it was too loud. I had to.
No, we want to hear it. We want to hear
man,
it.
Man, that was so funny.
I will obviously marry Carrie Fisher, even though hopefully she doesn't turn into a crazy cokehead. But and then the F the
spoiler
the
alert
sister.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she does. F the sister and
Bye B.
Yeah, sorry. Okay,
man. So right. going back into the a couple of things about the cantina scene. So that is apparently the Mos Eisley cantina.
Yeah,
looks completely different. You can't recognize it, but it is the Mos Eisley cantina. So a couple of things there. We're first introduced to it because the Imperials, when they are invading the Wookiee hut, the household, another alarm goes off, and an Imperial marshal or whatever he is, lieutenant, what have you, says that there, this is forced viewing for the Empire, and it is life on Tatooine.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Why? And then it's an Outer Rim planet.
No, but you hear what? But you hear? Did you hear the narrators talking? They're like, feel great because you don't live here. I was like, what kind of thing is this?
Yeah. And then it cuts straight to the canteen. They're like, this has not been edited in any way. This is like a live feed.
Yeah.
It's just wasting people's time.
But it's like, but again, it's like the alert was to get the attention of Imperial forces to stop what they're doing to watch this mandatory video.
Yeah.
And then you watch the video and it's some dude who misinterpreted a greeting or a, you know, goodbye. And then the Empire shuts the bar down. Like,
that
made no sense to me whatsoever. Like, that right there, it was another perfect example of being just high out of your mind on cocaine.
Yeah.
And actually, I think you guys talked about earlier some of the objectification of women. I think that's the worst one because he forces himself on her physically. Obviously, she kind of takes it in stride with a little bit of grace there, but...
Yeah,
I think that would happen now. Obviously, you know, police, you can call the police and she would have probably, you know, struck him in some way.
It was a different era. So
there's another scene where she's pouring a drink for an Athorian and then like she takes his hand and puts it on the drink. And I'm like, my first thought is like, dude, how fucked up is this alien to where you're pouring him a drink and he can't find it? So you have to put his hand on the glass. Like most bartenders are going to say you're cut off. But no, she pours him another drink. And then throughout the entire time, she's like, don't worry, this drink's on me. Don't worry, this drink's on me. Don't worry, this drink's on me. Like, and then she's trying to kick everybody out. She's like, don't worry, it's all in the house. It's like, she didn't charge a single person for a drink. And they're like, how does she have a business?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is like when the Empire is like kicking one out, they're like, all right, everyone has to leave. And they're like, arr, we're drunk, so we want to stay. I'm like,
But then breaks out into song to get them out.
I thought the funniest thing about it was that...
Would that make you leave when she started singing?
It made no fucking sense.
What was the... What's the walrus guy's name?
Ponda Baba?
Ponda Baba grabs her and, like, takes her to right before they start singing. He takes her up to the band, and that's when they start singing. I'm like, why? And they're skipping away up there. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and he
terrible.
Starts doing, like, the same dance like the New York Rockettes do. Where
exactly. I was like, gosh.
Come on.
So do you... Do you guys know? I had to fast forward the fucking scene when she broke it out in the song. I just couldn't fucking do it. do you guys know all those species that were there? And were they the same ones from the original scene? Episode 4.
Do I know them? I don't know all of them.
I don't know all of them either. I know
reading up on it. Yeah. Reading up on it, a lot of them were from the original cantina.
They used like the same props, apparently, costumes. Right?
Yeah. Used the same props. A lot of them were repainted and whatnot. Yeah. But. Yeah, I mean it's.
I think the only one was missing was like the Thorian, which is the slug guy. I don't think I saw him in there. Was he in there?
I literally just got done saying that she fed him a drink and he.
That guy. Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah.
So thank you for acknowledging me and paying attention. I feel validated. Thank you.
So this is all taking place in like, all this stuff is taking place as like you know these like tangential. You know, respites from the story that's going on inside Chewie's house. And when he's in there, there's like these officers that come in and that kind of stops their investigation of the house. Like you mentioned, Devo, when they were reporting that there's like a couple adults here supposed to be hearing a child and Chewie's missing. And the officer that is in there, I think there's a guy with a headpiece. I don't fucking remember what that was. I thought those guys like managed the Death Star and they fucking was the dude there. But anyways, they fucking were the operators of the Death Star, but the fucking guy was on their planet for some reason.
Yeah.
And then there was like an officer and two stormtroopers. The officer was absolutely terrible. Like he was almost talking loud.
He was like, when he wanted to direct somebody, he would snap into their direction.
Yeah.
It was weird because you know when you are like talking to someone and someone else is listening or your friend is like kind of standing, not looking at you and you say something really loud to the person you're talking to try to get the other person's attention so they hear what you're saying. That's almost the way this guy was acting just while he was talking to people. It was like very over exaggerated and horrible. Then there's this fucking thing that the fucking the Lando Calrissian guy that's not Lando Calrissian showed one of them and like a country band played a fucking song.
Oh, Jefferson for no fucking Starship, reason, baby.
Oh my god. I guess it's Jefferson Starship. That song is fucking bad.
It was terrible. And the singer
is terrible. I cannot listen to that shit. I had to fast forward. I couldn't fucking listen.
This one said country. I fast forward because it was a terrible song.
Is it country? What is it?
No, it's rock. They're
a 70s prog rock band.
Yeah, it was a progressive rock band.
It's terrible. Fucking terrible. And then there was also a guy that was teaching Lumpy how to assemble something or fix something.
Yeah, the robot.
Was he a droid? He was a robot. He was glitching.
Yeah. So and then at he the beginning of that video that he starts watching, like there's a voiceover that says, this species of whatever represents our product, and they are prone to breaking down and slowing down. But that's not like a negative reflection of what we do. It just shows how durable they are, right?
Yeah,
so that's
terrible.
Why every time he's doing something, he's like,
it was terrible. And he pushed himself, I don't know if you guys know this, he pushed himself off the screen at the very end with his nose.
Yeah. Because maybe he was doing a line or something.
I don't know. It was bad.
I just noticed a pattern here, and there's a lot of cocaine involved.
You said that it was the same guy that was the chef and was in the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we go back to one thing I wanted to really talk about, which is kind of the centerpiece of the whole fucking thing, is that guy that loves B. Arthur, his species, he had like a volcano head. He like drank through his head or something like that. Do you know what species that was?
No idea. I think that was just
something made up for this. Yeah.
Again, when you're high on coke, it's like, what can we do to make something unique? Oh, let's have a guy drink something from his head. Oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, it was terrible. That even the makeup was really, really bad. It was really stupid.
Okay, so I'm actually going to save the centerpiece of this for the last one. I have one more question, and then we're going to get to the centerpiece of this whole fucking thing because we haven't really talked about it too much.
We got
to
blow the top off, baby.
And we're going to blow it off. Okay, now, let's talk about Harrison Ford.
Okay.
You see him in the beginning, and then they intersperse him maybe once or twice in the rest of the movie because they're on their way to Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
So that Chewie can be with his family during the celebration. At the very end, obviously they get there, and Harrison Ford comes to the cabin or the house, whatever it is. I gotta say, man, like up until that point, this fucking thing was so bad that seeing someone like Harrison Ford come on, it was like so bad for so long that Harrison Ford appears and it just feels out of place. It's like weird. You're like, wait a second, this is like Harrison Ford, like a big name actor who at the time maybe have not been as big then as he is now, but it's still just weird to see him in something that's this fucking bad because that would never happen nowadays. I mean, maybe it would because he was unknown at the time, but it's almost like he's out of place in there. It's like, I can't even really grade his acting performance because he's so out of place
there.
And he does some weird things like he hugged Chewie and it was fucking weird.
You know what it feels like?
Watching them embrace was really weird, but then like he does another hug. And then, like, he does this weird thing where, like, he puts his hand up on his neck, and it looks like he's, like, choking out Chewie for some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was like, is that something that was in one of the other movies that he did? I don't remember that.
Maybe Chewie's just a dirty bitch.
Yeah. You know what it felt like? It was like when you go back and watch, like, big name actors in, like, their first role, so it's like a commercial or something. So like if you go back like watch Matthew McConaughey doing some like commercial when he's like fucking like 16 or something, it's that bad. It's like, dude, this guy's a good actor, but I mean this role, I mean he's like it's just terrible, terrible writing, and you know it's this overacting. Of course, Harrison Ford was like underacting. He was phoning it in, obviously. And I still thought he did a better job than anyone there. I know you thought Luke did a good job in that. I thought it was obviously fucking terrible. But I agree. It was so out of place, especially there. Because when they're in the cockpit, they still had that. Although the dynamic between Chewie and Han Solo was kind of off because the writing was bad and the cockpit was just ridiculous. But when he got to the house, I thought like what? Why is he even here? Oh, it's Han Solo, and like no one.
Yeah.
It was so odd. And he's like, all right, I gotta go. You know what? I don't want to be here for your family, for your little family get together.
Anyways.
No, but he says I gotta go take care of the Falcon because fuck you guys, this sucks. He's like, I'm outie.
But he still showed up at the celebration anyways.
At the end, yeah, the celebration, because that's after he took care of the Falcon, man, because okay, everyone else was there.
I guess so.
They were all magically right, there.
Let's get to the animated portion of this thing, I think, which is the most famous part of, you know, this holiday special, because it's the first appearance of Boba Fett. And I actually think that this was he appeared in a like a fucking figurine, like right before this or right after this, before he appeared in the second movie. But I think he appeared in this first. And if you notice, like, the colors of his armor are different than it appeared. And I think they changed it at some parade later on. Before he went to the thing there. Devo might know more about the history.
I don't know exactly, but it was either the toy came out and then they put him in the cartoon to help sell the toy, or he got a positive response in the cartoon, so they made a toy out of him. But I do believe that the toy came out before Empire.
Yeah.
And then obviously he blew up in Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes sense to me.
Yeah. So in this thing here, okay, so I don't know about you guys. I thought the animation was abysmal and
atrocious.
That was terrible.
The character models, like, without their outfits matching, like, the character that's in the movie, I mean, you couldn't even tell which one they were by looking at their faces. They didn't look fucking anything like the real people.
They made C-3PO blink.
Yeah.
Which is really important for an android, obviously.
I don't know if you guys caught this. Everyone had four fingers.
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Four fingers. Everyone.
Wow. And
yes. All the fucking Luke, fucking C-3PO, and fucking Mando.
Boba Fett.
They all had fucking four fingers.
Interesting.
And I don't know if you guys saw this, but like R2-D2 like moved his body, like went like his body, like, went fucking, like, moved back and forth, like, bend. He was made of paper, bend and shit, yeah. And then, which was weird because the other guy, that the volcano head guy, had six fingers. So it was, like, weird that they, like, pointed that out.
Oh, shit, now, yeah, four fingers.
When Luke got out of the fucking, he got to that planet, what's the name of that craft that he flew in to get to that planet?
The Y-Wing?
Okay, so the Y-Wing. Number one, he like bounced off the water like it was dirt or something. I don't fucking understand why.
I thought it looked like it was like jello because it was like it landed and went and it came back out, and then when he landed, it just did it. Did. And I then was like, what out, kind of? And they called it a sea. What sea is this?
And then, you know, there's a there's a shot where they show the Millennium Falcon a little bit later, and I swear to God, I was like, why is the Millennium Falcon stuck on olives in a sea of tomato juice?
Yeah. It was bad.
It literally looked just like olives.
Yeah.
And then, so when Luke gets out of there, he pulls out his blaster, and his blaster does something I've never seen happen before in Star Wars. It was a elongated laser that shot onto something and was reflected off of it without damaging anything in any way. You know, when you shoot a blaster in Star Wars, it's just like a little portion of a fucking laser that goes flying. That had a laser beam. I've never saw that shit before. Have you guys?
No.
No. It was, that was an odd cartoon.
And what other creatures are impervious to a laser blast?
You know, I don't know. Because I think there are plenty
of creatures. That's not common.
No, well, I think there are enough creatures like, in Star Wars.
Yeah, like absorb it.
Shells and stuff, you know?
Like Rancors, I don't think, I mean, depending on the laser, like you don't, like a Rancor, unless you may hit it right in the eye or something. Supposedly they can take a couple laser blasts.
They could absorb it, but they can't. That thing fucking literally ricocheted off of it.
Oh, that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah, reflect laser blasts.
And then the way Boba spoke was really weird because he was like, my friend. I was like, that's definitely not the way Boba Fett talks, if he even fucking talks at all. And then you're wondering, why the fuck would Boba even help them? I thought he fucking hated these people.
Well, that's because
he's obviously working for Vader.
Remember, this is technically the first time they saw him. So this is,
this is the thing. If Luke has met Boba at this point, did he not recognize him in Empire?
Well, I mean, we would hate him immediately,
sees
right?
An empire,
yeah, he doesn't really see him an empire.
He's already put in the fucking.
Remember, no, because
so the only time that Luke would have seen him is when Luke first lands and he's walking through, and then he's going through the hallways, and then he stops and backs up, and then Boba walks. And then Boba kind of looks over his shoulder
yeah.
and then walks on. And then Luke peers over. And then that's when he sees Han and Carbonite
yeah.
and Leia going through. And then Boba comes back and starts blasting at him.
Yep. But
they don't have any sort of confrontation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's not like they interact or anything. So like maybe he looked at him. He's like, oh, that looks kind of familiar. But like, again, it would have been just a glimpse.
Yeah.
And then he goes, he refers to that. Like fucking dinosaur he's riding as a dumb creature, which was like a very weird, and then he struck it and I was like yeah. it was fucking weird and like kind of brutal, but I guess when you're on cocaine
well I mean it makes sense for Boba. Boba was like don't do you fed him oh you're an idiot for feeding a dumb creature when you could last longer with your things. I'm like, it does sound like something Boba would say. I don't know if he would say it in that voice. But being a cold-blooded bastard, yeah, hey,
it's
Boba Fett.
He's not a Mandalorian, so, you know, Mandalorians probably wouldn't do that. But you're right, he's not a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Then they talk about this sleeping virus. Oh, before we get to that, I have a little story for you guys. And I think Devo might know this. I don't know if Gooch will know this. But the fork weapon that he uses to subdue the dinosaur creature, you know, they recreated that in the Mandalorian TV show. And if you watch the gallery thing that I mentioned earlier... Jon Favreau was really proud of that they were able to find a way to incorporate it. And they show a shot of him on set next to George Lucas. And he's like, you know, he's all excited. He's like, we got the fork thing, you know, the fork gun. And, you know, that's in there, right? I mean, it's some Star Wars special. You wrote that, right? He's like, no, I didn't actually. Like, he's like completely unimpressed with that. And he's like, no, I actually didn't have shit to do with that. It was really, really fucking funny. And
George distances himself from that as much as possible.
He just looked like he wasn't going to even give a smile or even credit to that thing at all.
He probably knew what Jon Favreau was trying to do, and he's like, nope, nuh-uh. Because there's even notes on IMDb where people have said that George will walk out of interviews the second anybody tries to ask him about the holiday special.
Yeah, because he really didn't have anything to do with it at all.
No, and it is, like Lucio has said, it's an abomination of Star Wars.
It really is.
Yeah, and the worst part is that they got all the actors to be in it, and they have all the, you know, the props and everything. It's just really bad. It's like worse. It's about as bad as if you gave some high school kids in film class the Star Wars budget to make something like this. So this sleeping virus... Obviously, Luke is exposed to it. Han is exposed to it. But Boba isn't? Is it because of the armor?
Well, I mean, he's
or
in
is
on
he
it.
Not, he's so, human, I'm assuming, right?
He's in on the whole plot, so... I'm assuming he had some sort of antidote already. I mean, that came down to. Or he's not Corellian, or I don't whatever human is in Star Wars.
Well,
I forgot.
Neither is Luke.
Yeah, but like again, I don't know. I'm assuming one, his armor protected him, or two, he was in on it all the time. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, I think it was more that, and I think he might have been the one that either drugged or, you know, got them to sleep, and it wasn't really the amulet.
Yeah,
got it. I got it. So he just was lying. That makes sense.
Yeah. Probably.
So remember we talked about earlier how the blaster laser just was reflected off. Of that creature, but later on, they shoot. I don't know if it's the same blaster or a different character's blaster. Shoots a speeder and literally destroys it in one fucking shot.
Yeah,
yeah. It was Luke.
Was
Boba Fett and Luke were like fleeing or something, and Boba Fett was like, "Doo, miss." Luke grabbed it and just shot twice and destroyed the whole freaking speeder.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, and then, there's a little bit of inconsistency there.
And then Boba Fett was mad dogging him and shit.
Yeah, he wasn't. He didn't like that.
Killed those imps.
That's right. He wasn't happy.
All right. You guys have anything? I've got all my stuff out about this abomination. If you guys have anything else to say, we can get to Kim Coppola. But if not, go for it.
Yeah, I'm tapped out. Let's go to Kim Coppola and we'll do our scores.
For me, Kim Coppola is the whole cast except for Harrison Ford.
It's a cop out, Gooch. Pick one person, please.
Pick one person.
Yeah.
Yep. Gosh. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Oh, you guys go first because there's so many.
I'm picking go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, for being, it's tough because at the time, he was not the person that we know he is now. He was not at the level that we know that he has risen to.
Wow.
But even still, like you can hear it in his voice. You could see it in his performance. Harrison Ford gives zero fucks about what is happening on screen here. This was just a payday, and it shows. This man was the worst. Like, everybody has their worst performance ever in anything, right? And I'm sure we all remember it. This is the worst Harrison Ford performance ever.
All right. For me, I give Harrison Ford a pass because he was putting it in, and he showed it. Because if you don't try and you're still better than some of the people in there, I give you a pass. My thing is that if you're a seasoned vet and you're trying your best and you still give a terrible performance, that's where my worry is going. And other than the chef thing, that guy, what's his name?
Harvey Korman?
Art
Carney.
Harvey Korman. He did such a terrible job. He's like some famous comedian at the time. I know he was in
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, and he was on Mama's Family. That's how I know him.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how I know him. And he did. It was a tie between him and the guy I was supposed to be lining up with cruising. I thought that they were terrible, terrible actors because they have such bigger. They had such prominent roles. It has to go to that guy. He just did such a terrible job. I want to fast forward every single time he was on the screen. I mean, when he was doing the chef thing, I liked the jiggly thing was funny, but other than that, every time it was like, oh god, it was
disagree, disagree strongly.
I
love Harvey Korman.
No, I didn't think it was funny. That's why.
Oh, you didn't think it was funny. There you go.
Oh, see, the chef is one of the highlights of the movie.
Problem for me is the whole blackface thing. Really, just it, I was like, so what's
your
what, this?
What's your what's yours?
Who's your Kim?
I'm the traitor, Art Carney. I think is the character's name.
Oh yeah,
there's Dan.
Okay.
He was. I think that the worst actual actor is the officer, the imperial officer.
Yeah, I agree.
He's fucking
too.
Fucking horrible.
But it's too small.
I actually am gonna say this guy's even worse because he's in it more.
Yeah.
And he was like almost as fucking bad.
You know, I'm
so
gonna go.
Overall, his performance is fucking worse.
I agree with, because garbage. he was my close second. So I agree with Clint.
I'm comfortable with that too. Yeah.
The other guy is bad too, though. The Harvey Korman is
no,
fucking,
no. But I do.
I didn't
do
understand
agree.
What he was doing half the time. Like, what is he doing? Art Carney had like just a regular role that you should be able to act somewhat well in because he's just a guy.
All right,
and it was horrible.
So yeah, so I agree. The
so Art Carney is our Kim Coppola winner.
Yeah, you did a terrible job, man. I'm sorry, and rest in peace.
So now we got to go to the illustrious scores.
Fuck.
Okay.
Gooch.
All right. Gooch. I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Oh, my God.
And the only reason why is, you know what? When I still think Harrison Ford was still Han Solo, although he didn't give a fuck. It's like Han Solo not giving no fucks. So I felt that was okay. And the music, apart from like the non-Star Wars music, they did have a lot of the regular, you know, episode one music stuff. And whenever I hear that with VHS copies, I do bring nostalgia back to me. I turned it on. I was like, man, this is like watching episode one. It was before episode one was even there. I mean, we all watch it on VHS and the poor VHS copies and all that stuff. It brought back a little bit of nostalgia. I did like that part of it. That's why I gave it. I was only going to give it a one, but I thought Han Solo's thing gave it a warranted for a 0.5. So 1.5.
All right. All right, let me do mine real quick with Devo. All right. I want to save yours for the end because I really want to know what yours is. I want to go zero.
Go for it,
but
man.
I'm not going to go zero because I think that there's two things in here. There's two parts about this that make it worth at least a half point.
Mm.
And really, it could be a little bit more, actually, because it was actually kind of really good. So number one is Carrie Fisher.
Running around?
Yes. That was nice.
Points for her breasts.
That was very nice.
That was very nice, yes.
That was very nice, and that's and you don't get to see it like that in any of the other movies. So that is worth at least not a zero, because that is one redeeming thing, although we can easily look at the meme again, so I don't need to watch this ever again.
No.
But it's in there. And then number two, the fact that it is Star Wars, maybe it's a couple more. Maybe it's like all in the one, but it's Star Wars. They have the original actors in there, so it is kind of cool to see young fucking Mark Hamill, young Carrie Fisher, young Harrison Ford in some other thing that you've never seen them in before, at least for me, because I had never seen it before. But the other part is that it's, you know, it's still them. You know what I mean? It's still Star Wars. It's still a part of the whole thing. And I'm not going to go 0.0, but I think I may have given fucking Wing Commander 0.5 or a 1 or some bullshit. This is worse than that.
So you gave Wing Commander a 1.
This is worse than that. So this is 0.5. Perfect.
0.5. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me,
Princess Leia is the only fucking thing.
Okay. So I have a very similar mindset to how you rated this thing, Clint. There are really two things in this movie, in this experience, I should say, that I enjoyed. So each part gets a half a point. So I'm giving it a 1 ultimately. Bea Arthur, obviously. I love her. She's beautiful. That's really the only other redeeming factor. But one thing that both you guys went super poo-poo on, I actually really enjoyed the Jefferson Starship performance.
Oh, my gosh.
I really like that song. I do have it on Spotify, and I have downloaded it.
What the fuck?
Devo? I'm not going to shit on you.
I agree. All right.
You have the guts, the balls, the fucking, the manhood to admit it.
Listen, you know what?
I respect it.
Especially with all the other. So I think we can all agree that in terms of the music in this, it blows every other piece of music in this experience out of the water. But I do like the song enough to where I have enjoyed it in my own personal time outside of the Star Wars holiday special nostalgia. So with that, those two things, it gets a 1, which does make the Star Wars holiday special the coveted worst thing we've ever reviewed on this show with a solid 1.0 overall score.
Yeah.
Barely above it is Thanksgiving and Captain America in 1990 at 1.7. And then we have Wing Commander at 2.0, and then Pet Sematary at 2.5.
Movie was terrible.
The fucking Captain America one was actually funny, though.
That was funny,
unintentionally,
though.
But it really was funny.
Yeah,
but,
like, so here's
the last part was funny. Everything else is...
So there's in these bottom... Let's see. I'm going to say these bottom three movies. Captain America, Thanksgiving, the holiday special. Clint and I have been pretty consistent in our scoring, either a 1 or a 0.5. My Captain America is a typo here. I put a 0.05. I have to fix that. So that props up to a 1.8 from a 1.7. Again, Clint and I, we don't go any higher than a 1. Lucho gave both Captain America and Thanksgiving a 4.
Yeah. I thought they were entertaining.
So, he gave Killer Clown 6.
I thought it was entertaining.
So the point is, when it comes to this garbage, Clint and I are pretty much on the same page. Lucho always goes above and beyond. This one was real close, though.
1.5, you gave it a 1.
In these bad movies, you always go way higher than us. And when we watch like legit movies that are actually kind of good, you shit all over them. And I'm very amused by it, and I love it. It makes me very happy.
What do you mean? What movie? Okay, it's true. I guess fine. But
Well, no, I mean, to be fair, like, I'm just doing like a broad overview.
I totally agree. Because I,
there's,
the problem
there's,
is, I
isn't anything where I feel like he like dipped too low in. Like, if
the,
anything,
the problem is, I enjoy B movies, so that's why I grade them at a different level. That's why I couldn't give. Like, I wanted to go with Killer Clowns a little bit higher because I enjoyed it thoroughly, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I knew it was, if a movie, it was a terrible
doesn't
film.
Take itself seriously, Gooch.
Yeah, exactly.
You give it all kinds of leeway. But if a movie takes itself seriously,
oh, of course.
You're very critical.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if sometimes movies still suck.
Yeah. That's why I gave this a 1.5. This shit was terrible.
I think the only one that's got like a weird dip is Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. I gave it 8, Clint 8.5, Lucho a 6.5.
Oh, I hated
that.
That's
really the big. That's the biggest discrepancy.
That was terrible.
Like, the only other thing I see is, again, Masters of the Universe. Clint gave it an 8. Lucho 5.5. I gave it 3.
God, the movie was terrible.
That's the lost episode. The lost episode.
Friday the 13th, Part 8. Lucho and I both at 5s. Clint at 3.5. If anything, it might be Clint that's the one that's off.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th was off. Killer Clowns, Lucho 6, me 5, Clint 2.
Yeah,
because I'm ruthless against these really bad movies because they're fucking bad.
So here we go. 8mm. Clint a 4, me a 3, Lucho a 6.
I thought it was good.
Because he popped that fat boner.
Yeah.
The machine, baby.
The machine, yeah. So, I mean,
I can't wait to go over all...
No, we're all over the place, to be honest with you.
I can't wait to do the
we all have our
Hall of Fame at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
So another thing we have to do, too, is we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks like 6 movies that we've reviewed that we didn't actually provide scores for.
Okay.
So at some point, we're going to have to plan a time or a way to do those as well.
Let's do a special episode.
I mean, I looked through them, and I already put my scores in, so we're going to get together and do that as well. So
okay.
Well, we could talk about that at a later time, though. Mm. So here we go. Star Wars, the holiday special, officially the worst movie we've ever watched. I mean, it's a TV special. It is what it is. It's renowned for being trash. We reviewed it justly, and it is going to go down in the annals of mediocrity for forever.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I don't know what other socials. Oh, Instagram. If you like the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, some of the other places, leave a review, leave a comment, tweet us, DM us, slide in our DMs, whatever you want to do. Unless anybody else has any sort of fucking...
I do.
Final thoughts on this? Let's hear it.
I do. Gooch, it's your turn next week.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll have to think about it. I thought it was Clint's turn, but...
I picked Invisible Man last week.
Oh, you did? Oh,
and Devo has Star Wars special this week.
Oh,
so
man.
Next week
you know what? I'll give you guys a heads up by Tuesday, and then we'll pull it up, because I brain farted this week.
Follow us Twitter, Instagram. We're going to reveal that movie once the Gooch lets us know. And then we will see you next Friday for another exciting episode of Welcome to Blow.
We'll see you guys next week. All right,
you fellas ready?
I'm ready.
Do the damn thing.
All right, my wife is sleeping, so I may not be too aggressive with this one, but I'm
that's fine.
To do my
that's
best.
Fine. That's fine. That's fine.
All right, here we go.
Do it sexy. We'll do it like real low.
Hey.
Yeah. Do it like Barry White, dude.
I might let Devo do this one. That sounded pretty good.
Do it. You know, this is your special. You should do it, man. Do it really low.
Oh. What was I should do it in like the way that Leia did it in the thing, like,
oh god,
oh my god Gumbanta Puru.
All right, Clint,
go, he's go, Clint, go,
fucking the Bantha special. Okay, all right, here we go.